Masechet Shabbat in memory of Marcel and Jack Shasho. Ruach Adonai Tanichim Began Eden. Amen.
Daf Chav Gimal.
Today's daf has been sponsored by Mr. Joey Shrem in honor of his wife, Josie Shrem. May she lead to continue guiding him in the Torah way, and that he has much hakarat tov to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for leading him in the right derech. Today's daf is being learned Refuah Shelema Mordechai Ben Simcha, that is having an operation today. El na refana lo betoch shar chole amo Yisrael. Amen. Today's daf is being studied the Ilu Nishmat Hadas Bat Yehudit and Abraham ben Esther. Ruach Hashem tanichem began Eden. Amen. We are on Daf Chav Bet, Amud Sheni, and we are going to start from the Mai Have Ala, which is about 15 lines from the bottom. The Gemara says, "May have ala." Until this point, we discussed a machloket between Rav and Shmuel regarding Nerot Hanukkah. Rav said, "En madlikin min ner lener," and Shmuel said, "Madlikin min ner lener." We learned earlier that Abaye said that although his master Rabbah Nachmani followed Rav as a general rule, like the Gemara says in another place, Hilcheta be'rav, or ke'rav be'isure, halakha follows Rav. However, in this case, he was posek like Shmuel. So the Gemara, according to at least one understanding in the Tosafot over here, is saying, Mayaveala, what is the halakha according to Shmuel? Which means, granted you're telling me we go like Shmuel that says, Maddikin miner lener. But now we want to know the extent. How far Shmuel was going to extend Ner Lener? What are the two options? Either he means that actually one wick of the mitzvah of Ner Hanukkah could light another wick of the mitzvah of Hanukkah, or it could even mean you could take a kisam, which would be a wood chip, and light from the lights of the menorah this wood chip, and then subsequently light the other lights. So the Gemara says, well, that question is going to be dependent on another machloket. Amar Avuna Bered Rav Yoshua Hazina, we're going to have to see I Adlaka Osa Mitzvah. If you say Adlaka Osa Mitzvah, what does Adlaka Osa Mitzvah mean? That the actual lighting itself is a mitzvah. The mitzvah of Adlaka is to put the flame to the wick and light it. If you say that Adlaka Osa Mitzvah, which means every time you're lighting, you're getting a mitzvah, that's the mitzvah. So it says, Madlikin miner lener. Then, according to Rav, that said, En madlikin miner lener, because that was Rav's opinion, so that would mean you're only not allowed, when it says En madlikin miner lener, to use a kisam. However, to light from wick to wick, according to Rav, would be permissible, because it's a mitzvah. There's no bizui over here, there's no degradation to the mitzvah from lighting from one wick to another, because we're saying the hadlaka is a mitzvah itself. So when Rav said, En madlikin min ner lener, that you cannot light from ner lener, he wasn't talking about lighting one wick to another. Well, that should be definitely mutar. It's not a bizayon for the mitzvah. Ela, he must have been talking about al yedeh kisam. And that's a bizui. So therefore, if Rav was being oser kisam, Shmuel, who said madlikin miner lener, must have been saying it's mutar madlik the kisam. So if you hold adlaka osa mitzvah, Shmuel would be matir to light al yedeh kisam. V'iyanacha osa mitzvah. But if you hold the mitzvah is the placement, which means it's not the lighting of the menorah, it's the placement. To the extent that, let's say, a katan lit the menorah, a minor lit the menorah, and then a gadol went and took it and placed it in the spot, that's considered the mitzvah. So it doesn't matter who lights it, it matters who places it. The lighting per se is not a mitzvah. So if you say, anacha osa mitzvah, en madlikin min ner lener, then when Rav said, in Madiki Mineliner, it went to the extreme case, which means he'll even forbid you to light from one wick to another. Meaning, let's say you have already a flame on the table, you have a ner on the table, which means you placed it already. So that's already the mitzvah you started. Now you want to take the second ner and you want to light from it. Since as you're lighting, the mitzvah did not be fulfilled yet, because the mitzvah is not until you actually place the second ner down. So therefore, it's bizayon mitzvah. You're taking something that's not a mitzvah and you're lighting it from a mitzvah. So I mean, if you hold on a house, some mitzvah, rav would be osir even ner le ner, even one wick to another wick of the menorah, because it's going from chol to the mitzvah. That's considered a bizayon. And if that's what the rav is being osir, that means when Shmuel came along and said madlikim ner le ner, he meant what? He meant that you can light from wick to wick of the menorah. However, Shmuel would be osir kisam. And why would Shmuel be osir kisam? He would agree that lighting with a kisam is a bizayon. So why? Because it's not a mitzvah. So why would Shmuel matir to light from wick to wick? It's also not a mitzvah if you hold on a house on mitzvah. Because he would say, because eventually it's going to become a mitzvah. Which means once you place this wick down, now it becomes a mitzvah of Nerot Chanukah through the Hanaha. So therefore he'll be more lenient to light from Ner to Ner, as opposed to using a kisam. So again, the nafka mina between, if you hold Hadlaka or some mitzvah, Shmuel would say kisam is mutar. If you say Hanaha or some mitzvah, Shmuel would say kisam is asur. That's the Gemara setup. Comes Gemara and says, the Ibaya Lehu, because we had a question, Hadlaka osa mitzvah or Hanaha osa mitzvah? Actually, this is a question in the laws of Hanukkah. What is the actual mitzvah? Is it the lighting or is it the placement? As Tosfot says on the bottom, Nafka mina, if it was lit by a Heresh, Shoteh, v'Katan, if it was lit by somebody that's not obligated in the mitzvah, and then it was placed down. If you say Hadlaka osa mitzvah, since it was lit by somebody that was exempt, lo yatza. If you say Hanaha osa mitzvah, I don't care who lit it. So long as the person that placed it down was a gadol, they fulfill. So now Gemara wants to bring proof to prove either way. Is it Hadlaka or Hanaha? Tashema, come and listen. Dama Rava. Haya tafus ner Hanukkah ve'omed. A person, let's say, was holding the ner Hanukkah. He lit the ner Hanukkah, obviously, and he was holding it. He didn't put it down. Lo asa velo kelum. So the Gemara over here says he did not do anything. So what's the proof over here? Shma minna hanaha osa mitzvah. Which means mashma over here that the hanaha is the mitzvah. Because since he didn't put it down, it says in the statement over here, lo asa velo kelum. Why didn't he do anything? Because there was no hanaha. Rashi clearly writes, Hayat tafus ner Hanukkah biyado. Mishedlika ad shekafta. Which means from the time that he lit it until it went out, the guy was just holding his menorah in his hand. He did not place it down. So comes again, Gemara and says, that should be a proof that what? That hanaha osa mitzvah. Because, yes, you lit it, but it's not the lighting, it's the actual placement. So the Gemara says, no. Hatam, over there in that case, haro'eh omer litzorko hu denakit. Which means, really, I could tell you, hadlaka osa mitzvah. Oh, so then what's the reason why he's not yotzei? He lit. Because over there, since he's holding it, it looks like he lit it for his personal usage. And therefore, the guy's holding a menorah in his hand. What does it look like? He's using it as a flashlight. He's using it as a, to illuminate for himself. So therefore, you have no proof from here. I can tell you, really, from the law of Hadlaka osa mitzvah. And really, the guy should be yotze. Because bottom line, he lit it even though he didn't put it down. Also, why does it say lo asa kilum? Because of it's a gezerah. Because here, when you hold it in your hand, people are going to say, oh, look at this guy. He didn't light the menorah. He just did it for his personal illumination. So that's the reason why lo yatza. Not because hanaha, but because the gezerah shelo yomru she letzorkohu hiddik. So if we have no proof. So the Gemara says, alright, Tashema, I'll bring another proof. Damarava hidlika bifnim. Let's say a person lit the menorah inside. Ve'otzi'ah, and then after he lit it inside, he picked it up and brought it outside where he wants to keep it. Like we learned, you put it by his door, etc. So it says, Lo asa kilum. So again, here it says he did not do anything. So it says, I amar bishtamad lakah osa mitzvah. Which is, if you want to tell me that the hadlakah is the mitzvah, hadlakah bimkomo ba'inan. Which means the hadlakah is the mitzvah. That means you have to, the lighting is the mitzvah. That means at the time of the lighting, the menorah has to be in the right place. Because the lighting is the mitzvah. So therefore, mishum achi lo asa kelum. That's why we can understand he didn't do anything. Because since he lit it inside, where it doesn't count, because again, in the old days you have to remember they placed the menorah outside. So since at the time of the lighting, it was in the wrong place, and then he picked it up after and put it outside, so what does that show you? And it says in the statement, lo asa kelum. So must be what? Hadlaka osa mitzvah. Because that's why you weren't yotzeh, because since at the time of the hadlaka, it was in the wrong spot. But if you tell me that it's the hanacha that does the mitzvah, amai lo asa velo kelum. So why did it say lo asa velo kelum? That's exactly hanacha osa mitzvah. He lit inside, what do I care where he lit? The point is that after that he placed it in the right spot. Why should it say lo asa velo kelum? So this should be a proof that what? Hanacha osa mitzvah. Gemara says, no, hatam nameh. Here also, haro'ehu omer, netzorko hu da'adleka. Again, the people are going to still think that he lit it for personal usage. Why? Because they see a guy walking outside with the menorah. So now already they're going to say, really, I can tell you, hanacha osa mitzvah. And from that standpoint, when he puts it out, he should be yotzeh. Because hanacha osa mitzvah. Oh, so why lo yatzah? Because again, the same gezerah. That what, when a guy's carrying his menorah outside, people are going to think what? He did it for his personal usage, and therefore there's no recognition that it's for the, it's not recognizable that it's for the mitzvah of Hanukkah, therefore lo yatzah. So the Gemara tried to bring one proof for hadlakah, tried to bring another proof for hanaha. Both proofs were rejected. So the Gemara brings a third proof. Tashema, Tamar Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, Ashashit. Ashashit would be like a lantern. Shaita doleket veolechet kol hayom kulo, which means, let's say it was lit from before Shabbat, and it was lasting throughout the Shabbat until Motzei Shabbat. You lit a lantern before Shabbat, you lit a ner before Shabbat, and it was a long ner, a lot of oil, and it went until after Shabbat. So it says, Ashashit shaita doleket veolechet kol hayom kulo. Lemotzei Shabbat, on Motzei Shabbat, what are you supposed to do? Mechabe, you extinguish it. Umadlika, and then you relight it for the mitzvah of Hanukkah, for Motzei Shabbat. I amal pishtumad laka osa mitzvah shapir. If you say it's the laka that does the mitzvah, very good. Because that's why you have to extinguish it. And you have to relight it again, because the mitzvah every night is to light. So therefore, the lighting that you did on Friday afternoon is not going to count for the lighting that you have to do on Motzei Shabbat. So therefore, you lit Nerot Hanukkah, let's say, Erev Shabbat. It lasted to Motzei Shabbat. Now you got to light Saturday night's candles. So what is it telling you to do? Extinguish it. Oh, now you extinguish it. Relight it. And you yotzeh. What does that prove to you? Hadlakah. Osa mitzvah, ela I amart. But if you're going to tell me, hanacha osa mitzvah, if you're telling me it's the actual placement that does the mitzvah, hay mechabe umadlika, why are you telling me that you have to extinguish it and relight it? It should say, mechabe, meaning extinguish it, magbiha umaniha umadlika mevayle. It should say that you have to extinguish it, actually pick it up, according to some gesorot, light it at that point, and then place it down again. Because the whole key is the hanara. From the fact that it didn't say that, it's mashma that what the ikar is the hadlaka. Now, the question in this case is from Tosafot. Let's analyze what the Gemara was saying at this point. If you hold on a house mitzvah, so you have a nir that's already lit from before Shabbat. If you hold on like a house mitzvah, very easy. Blow it out, relight it again, Adikne Shahanukah, finished, perfect. That's Hadlaka on Samitzvah. However, if you hold on a house Samitzvah, the Gemara says that wouldn't be enough. You'd have to extinguish it. You'd have to relight it, lift it up, and place it down again. So comes the Tosafot and says, why would you have to relight it? Which is all it should say is Motzei Shabbat, you should come and lift it up and put it down. Which means, Hanahaus HaMitzvah is Hanahaus, it's lit already. Which means Tosfot asks stronger, he says, is it worse in this case than if a Heresh Shoten Katan lit it? What if a Heresh Shoten Katan lit it, which is nothing? Doesn't mean it doesn't matter, you just take the menorah and you lift it up and put it down, do the Hanaha. So why is it worse in this case, just because it was lit from before Shabbat, that they're telling you now that it's not enough to just extinguish or just lift it up and put it down. You have to extinguish it first, relight it, pick it up and put it down. If you hold on the house, why would you have to extinguish it, Tosfot's asking. So Tosfot says, in the top Tosfot, V'yesh lomar, Temayvi shedika mitchilata letzorech Shabbat. We're talking about a case over here, Tosfot says, where you lit it originally on Friday, not for Hanukkah purposes. You lit it for the purpose of Shabbat. And therefore, he says, Lachen gara, it's worse than a case of Haresh Shotev Katan. De'atam shemadika bi'itani karadavar shumadikatan shem Hanukkah. At least, when the Haresh Shotev Katan lit, true, he's not Yotze, but he's lighting it at the time of the Hanukkah. He's lighting it at the time of Hanukkah, so at least it's nikar that it's for Hanukkah. So therefore, all you got to do is lift it up and put it down if you're on Hanukkah. Here, it was lit for a different purpose. It was lit letzorech Shabbat. So therefore, Hanukkah in that case is not going to help. There you have to bring it to a new lighting to show that it's for Hanukkah, and then lift it up and put it down. But bottom line, whatever it is, still we're saying that what? From a proof over here that Hadlaka Osa Mitzvah, this proof stands. Again, the final proof is going to be, at least one of the final proofs is going to be, that Hadlaka Osa Mitzvah, from the fact that all we make the guy do on Motzei Shabbat is extinguish it and then relight it. Comes the Gemara and says, another proof, Ve'od, and furthermore, Medeka mevarchinan asher kedeshanu b'mesuotav v'sivanu lehadlik ner shel Hanukkah shmachmina adlaka osa mitzvah shmachmina, which means from the text of the beracha we don't say asher kedeshanu b'mesuotav v'sivanu lehaniach ner Hanukkah, say lehadlik. So therefore must be the mitzvah is adlaka, the lighting. Also, if that's already the proof that Adlaka Osa Mitzvah, the Gemara says, Ve'ashta Da'amrin and Adlaka Osa Mitzvah, once already you're concluding that it's the Adlaka, Hidlika Chereh Shoteh V'Katan, Lo Asa Ve'Lo Kelum. So then if a Chereh Shoteh V'Katan, who are three people that are exempt, the Chereh would be somebody, the Chas V'Shalom is deaf, Shoteh would be somebody that does not have the proper mental abilities, and a Katan is a minor. Since both these three people are partud, if they would like the menorah, it doesn't count, because it is the hadlaka that makes the mitzvah. Oh, once we say this also, now we understand Shmuel. Because if you say hadlaka osa mitzvah, which means the actual lighting is a mitzvah, so therefore let's review the machloket. Rav said, en madlikin miner lener. He wasn't talking about lighting from one ner to another ner, because that's a mitzvah. This is a mitzvah. There's no bizayon of it. The light went from one day to another. He must have been talking about it's forbidden to use a kisam, because you're taking a kisam to light the mitzvah. Oh, Shmuel would say, no, what you said is asur rav, I say is mutar, meaning Shmuel would matir to light with a kisam. So therefore, comes out according to this Gemara, we're permissible, according to Shmuel, to use a kisam. Comes the Tosafot and says, even so that is true, it's not the minhag, which means we're not noheg to take a kisam and light from the lights of the menorah to light the other ones, even though technically it should be permissible. Our minhag actually is that we take a separate ner that we light from before, and we use that to light the nerot of the Hanukkah. But we don't take a extinguished candle and use the menorah to light it. We don't light our lighter candle from the menorah itself, even though technically according to Shemuel, that would be like a kisam, that should be permissible. The menorah is to use a separate ner, or according to the Ashkenazim, they use, let's say, a shamosh, which that's the ner that they eventually put back on the menorah itself. However, we do not use a kisam in the lighting. That's what Tosafot says. Comes the Gemara and says another din. Isha, a lady, vaday madlika. A lady definitely is obligated to light the menorah. Now the question is why? Seemingly it's a mitzvah aseh. It's not a mitzvah aseh min haTorah, but it is a mitzvah that is zman gerama. It's bound by time, right? We know all the laws that are bound by time, positive laws. She's exempt. So give us that Marbi Yoshua ben Levi, Nashim hayavot ben el Hanukkah. Why? She'afen ayu be'oto anes. Because they were also part of the miracle of Hanukkah. What's the miracle of Hanukkah? So that she says that the Yevanim had a law that any betula that was getting married, any virgin on the night that she was getting married, she would have to go commit an avon with the local governor. And this was a terrible breach. And obviously the tzniut and the modesty and the kiddusha of Klal Yisrael. Came a lady called Yehudit, and she went to that governor, and she seduced him and gave him cheese to eat, and then got him drunk, and after he got drunk, she killed him. So therefore she really saved Klal Yisrael, the ladies, from this evil decree. So part of the miracle of Hanukkah was a lady was involved. So therefore, since the ladies were involved, so therefore, it's proper for them to also do the mitzvot. Comes the Gemara and says, Amar Rav Sheshat. Now we say another law in the laws of Hanukkah. Achsanai hayav b'ner Hanukkah. What is achsanai? That she says, oreyah. But that means a guest. Which means somebody's a guest by somebody else's house, so he's really his own man. So he's really obligated to light the menorah himself. Jeez, he would light, let's say, in his room, and you have the balabayit lights, in his area. Each person has the obligation. Amar Rabbi Zera, so Rabbi Zera comes and gives a condition here. He says, Meresh, originally, ki havina berav, when I was studying in the yeshiva, berav, mishtatafna beperite, I would go partners with the piruta, ba'ade ushpiza, with the host that I was staying by. She's Rabbi Zera is telling us a chidush over here. If you want, you don't have to light yourself. You can actually partner up with the host. How do you partner up? Give him a few coins. Now it's already considered a joint venture, because you gave him some coins as if you bought into his oil and his wick. So therefore, you don't have to light yourself. It's considered he fulfills your obligation. So that's what I used to do when I was in the yeshiva. I used to go to my host that I was staying by, and I used to give him a couple of pirutot to be part of the mitzvah. Batar denasi be'eteta. But after I got married, Amina, I said to myself, Ashta vaday lo tzarichna. For here, I don't even have to give a shituf, I don't have to give pirutot. Why? Because my wife is lighting for me in my house. Which means Rabbi Zera, after he got married, went to yeshiva again. So he was out of the house on Hanukkah, he was learning. So at that point he said, oh, now already my wife will cover my obligation. She's Ned Ishu Beto. The mitzvah is on the house. So therefore she's at home, she's lighting for me. So therefore I don't even have to make a shituf. That was, let's say, a guy's away on Hanukkah, and his wife is at home, so his wife can light the menorah for him, and fulfills the obligation. Even though he's staying by somebody's house, he doesn't even have to be partners in the menorah itself, in the oil itself. Comes the Gemara and says, Amar Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi. Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi taught, Kol ha-shimanim kulan yafin laner. All oils are kasher, are good for the ner, for lighting. However, the shemen zayit min amuvhar, but olive oil is the best. Amar Abaye, Abaye said, Meresh, originally, Hava mehader mor, meaning again, Rava bar Nachmani was Mahmir, Amishha Dishum Shameh. He would be careful to specifically use the sesame seed oil. Amar, and he would say, Hai Mashich Nehore Tefeh. He said, this oil draws for a long time, which means it lasts for a long time. Mashich. It's a long draw. And therefore you get you get a long net out of it. You get a long time out of it. Kevan de Shama la lehad Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi. But once he heard what Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi said regarding the olive oil, that it's the best one, Mehader Amishad de Zeta. So then he was careful only to use olive oil. And what was his logic? Amar, Hait Salil Nehore Tefeh. The olive oil gives you a much clearer and sharper flame. So therefore, he switched over from sesame seed to olive oil. Now the Tosafot says over here that the discussion is for Ner Hanukkah. Because it's obvious that for Shabbat, you should use olive oil, like the Gemara is going to say later on. The discussion was, when it came to Nerot of Hanukkah, we learned earlier that we go according to Rav. That says really what? Asun ishtamesh leora. That really you're not allowed to benefit from the lights. And he also holds kafta in zakukla. That if it went out, you're not obligated to relight it. For that reason, Rav allowed me to use inferior oils and inferior wicks ben behol, ben beShabbat. If it goes out during the week, let it go out. You're not obligated to light it again. And on Shabbat, I'm not going to be worried that you might come to flicker these inferior wicks and oils. Why? So even though you're allowed to use the inferior stuff, here the Gemara is saying, still, it's proper to go after the olive oil. So that's what he was saying, that Rabbi Benachman originally used to go after the Shum Shemeh, the cotton seed. Now, we learned earlier, according to one Shita, Shemen Kik was the cotton seed. Yeah, but that wasn't good for Shabbat. But we're discussing now Hanukkah. So therefore he was Makpid. He would use the, he said, oh, I got a long draw on this Shemin, Shum Shemin. Once he heard the Yehoshua ben Levi, that said, nah, olive oil is the key because it gives you a nice light. And also, it should be pointed out, if you're learning that the whole Nes of Hanukkah should be modeled after the Nes of the Menorah of the Beit HaMikdash, we know in the Beit HaMikdash the miracle was done with Shemin Zayit, so that's besides the clarity of the Ner. You have another reason why to use Shemin Zayit in order to follow the Beit HaMikdash, which was done with Shemin Zayit. So comes the Gemara and says, Ave Amar B'Yushua Ben Levi, Kol HaShemanim Yafin Nidiyo. All oils are good for ink. The Shemin Zayit Min HaMuvhar. But the olive oil is the best. So the question was asked, Legabel or Le'ashin? There's two processes in making ink, and both processes use oil. The first process is called Le'ashin. What they do is they take, let's say, a piece of glass, and they take oil, and they light it, and there's smoke that rises up from the oil. They take this piece of glass, and they place it over the smoke, so it blackens now this glass. After they get the soot that's on the glass, they scrape it into a keli. After they scrape it into a keli, they add olive oil. The olive oil now causes the soot now to congeal, to become like a paste, and they put it in the sun to dry. So the question is, when you say that olive oil is good for making ink, dior, at what stage? Is the olive oil good for the ashan, meaning to burn olive oil to get its black soot? Or for the gibul stage, for adding it to the soot? For the aishun or for the gibul? So the Gemara says, Tashema, de Tani Rav Shmuel Barzutre, Kol HaShemanim Yafim de Dio, all oils are good for making ink, the Shemin Zayit Min HaMuvhar, but olive oil is the best, Ben Legabel Ben Le'ashen, for both processes, both for the Bishun, for the smoking, and also for the Gibul, which means adding it after to make it into a paste. Rav Shmuel Barzutra Matniachi, but Rav Shmuel Barzutra learned like this, Kol HaShemanim Yafim de Dio, all the Ashanim, when you're doing the smoke, all smoked soot is good for ink. The Shemin Zayit Min HaMuvhar. But for the shemen, shemen zayit, when you make the soot out of olive oil, that's the best. So according to this version, it's only for ashan. The first version told you the shemen zayit is good ben la ashen and ben the gibul. This version is telling you no, it's only good for the ashan. Amar avuna kol ha-serafim yafim l'diyo. All the serafim are good for ink. There's another ingredient that they put in the ink. According to Rashi, he understands serafim is like a... I think that's the Tosafot understands it as sap, and Rashi understands it as a gum. So another ingredient. So it's called a serafim yafim the dio. All the sap or the gum that they put into this dio is good. Vesraf ktaf yafim ikulam. But the gum or the sap that they get from the ktaf tree, that is the best for the ink. So bottom line, when you want to make ink, now you know shemen zayit is the best oil to use, and you know when you want to use to make the ktaf, to use the best one is the shemen sraf of the ktaf. Amar Rav Chaya bar Asher, Amar Rav. Hamadlik ner shel Hanukkah sarich lebarech. Okay, a person who's lighting the ner of Hanukkah, obviously he has to make a Berachah. The Gemara will tell us what berachot he has to make. Actually, we learned above, Ladik ner shel Hanukkah, or Ladik ner Hanukkah. It's a machloket in the Girsaot. According to the minhag of the Sefaradim, we do not say Ladik ner shel Hanukkah. We say Ladik ner Hanukkah. In any event, the Rav Yirmiyah, Amar Yirmiyah, says another din. Haro'er ner shel Hanukkah sarich lebarech. He says not only the one that's lighting, but even somebody that just sees the menorah, he has to make a beracha. What do you mean he sees the menorah? So Rashi tells us, we're talking about somebody that is not planning on lighting that night. Which means, and they're not lighting for him at home. Which means he's going to be exempted from the mitzvah. I want to read that in Rashi because it's a little tricky, this Rashi. Rashi says, Haro'eh. Ha'over bashuk, the guy's walking in the marketplace. Ve'ro'eh be'had ha'atzerot dolek. He sees in one of the houses the menorah being lit. U'matzati b'shem Rabbeinu Yitzchak ben Yehuda she'amar m'shum Rabbeinu Yaakov te'lo skuka beracha zu ela lemi she'lo edlik be'beto adayin. Starting where he did not light yet. Now from this word yet, sounds like even though he's planning on lighting later on, since he didn't light yet, he has to make the beracha. So the Mordechi, it's one of the Rishonim, he adjusts in Rashi and says, V'she'en da'ato le'adlik be'atzmo. And he adds in Rashi the words, and he's not planning on lighting for himself. So therefore he would make the beracha of the Birkat Haro'eh. We'll see what that beracha is in a second. Or Rashi says, the guy's on a boat. That's clearly he's not going to be lighting the menorah on the boat. There's no provisions to light on the boat. But as he's on the boat, he sees a menorah somewhere. So therefore, he would make a beracha. So the Gemara says again, Omar, Amar Yom Rishon, the first day of Hanukkah, Haroe Mevarech Shtayim. The Roe makes two berachot, Umadlik Mevarech Shenosha. Now we can figure it out ourselves. If the Ro'eh makes two berachot on the first night, what are those two berachot going to be? Obviously, he cannot say Ladlik Ner Hanukkah. So he will say, Sha'asah Nisim Lavotenu, Bayimim Hem Zeman Hazeh, and he would say, Shehayanu. And the Madlik on the first night would say three berachot, meaning he would add the beracha of Ladlik. Mikan Ve'ilach, and from then on, meaning after the first night and on, from the second night and on, Madlik Mevarech Shtayim, the Madlik only makes two berachot, the Ro'e Mevarech Achat, and the Ro'e only makes one beracha. So the Gemara says, "My Mema'et." Which beracha do you diminish? Which means the Madlik made three berachot the first night. Now the second night it only makes two. Which one you take it out? Well, the Madlik obviously you're not taking out because he's lighting. The question is, do you take out Sha'asah Nisim or do you take out Shehayanu? So the Gemara says, "Mema'et Zeman." No, we take away the Zeman, take away Shayanuk. I can just say Vigiyanu and Zeman is there already. The time already came. The holiday started right last night. So the Gemara says, Vinim Utnes. Why, for that matter, then take out Chasanisim? Because already you celebrated the miracle last night. So the Gemara says, no, Nes Kol Yome Ite. The miracle was every single day there was another miracle. Which means you can only say Shayanu once, because Shayanu means you got to this time. You got to the time of year called Hanukkah. That's the first night. But Sha'asan Nisim Avotenu happened every single night. There was another miracle. So therefore, the Madlik on the subsequent nights drops the Shehayanu and makes the two Berachot of Ladlik and Sha'asan Nisim. My Mivarech, Mivarech Asher Kedeshanu B'Mesotah V'Sivanu Ladlik Ner Sher Hanukkah. So the Gemara says, Ve'echan Sivanu. What do you mean? Asher Kedeshanu B'Mesotah V'Sivanu. And you commanded us. What do you mean? Where, this is not a commandment. Where does the Torah command us to light the Ner Hanukkah? So comes the Gemara and says, Hekan Sivanu, where were we commanded? It's not from the Torah. Says Rav Aviyamar, Melot Asur. The Pasuk says, Lot Tasur Min HaDavar HaShir Yagidu Lecha Yaminu Smol. We're obligated to listen to the words of the rabbis. So the Torah says, listen to the rabbis. That's where they commanded us to actually follow the law of Hanukkah. Rav Nechamya Amar, Rav Nechamya says from the Pasuk She'al Avicha V'yagetcha Zekenecha V'yom Rudach. Which means another Pasuk that teaches us what? Zekenecha V'yom Rudach. We have to listen to our elders, meaning the Hakamim, and they will guide us to tell us what to do. So the Vitzivanu is based on the law that we have to listen to the Hakamim. Mativ Rav Amram. So Rav Amram has a question. Had Demai. What is Demai? Demai is... it is food that comes from an Amaris. The Amaris is suspicious in not giving his Ma'asrot. And therefore we're misupak, we're in doubt, is the fruit over here, was it Ma'asir given or not? That's why they call it Demai, meaning Damai. We don't know what this is. Okay, that's fruit that is, we're misupak if he gave the Ma'asir. So it says, Ademai me'arvin bo. You can use demai. Let's say you have bread. That's demai. You can use it to make an iruv. Let's say amongst two people that are sharing a hatser together, you have to make iruv hatserot. So you can use the bread of demai to make the iruv. Or mishtatefim bo. Let's say you have a common alleyway that two hatserot are sharing. So you need to make what's called shetufeh mivuot in order to join both hatserot to the common alleyway. So you can use this demai bread for a shetuf. Umivarchin alav. And if you eat it, you're allowed to eat it, you make a mutsi la amin aharis. Umizamirim alav. And if somebody ate demai, you can count them as part of the zimun. Umafrishin oto arum. Oh, but now it says, you're also able to take maaser, because you're really supposed to take maaser from the demai, because we're in doubt. So it says you can take the maaser arum, without wearing any clothes. Now what does that mean, without wearing any clothes? So the issue over here is, we're assuming that you're not going to make a beracha. Because if you were making a beracha at the time of separation of the ma'aser, you would have to be dressed at least so you cover your erva. So it's saying, no, it sounds like mafrishino to'arum, meaning you don't have to be dressed, implying what? That you don't have to make a beracha at the time that you're separating this ma'aser. Uben ha-shemashot, and you can even do this process, ben ha-shemashot on Friday night. Friday, it's twilight. Which means normally on Shabbat you're not allowed to take ma'asir. But over here this is really not taking ma'asir, this is safek ma'asir. Maybe it was given already. So ben ha-shemashot, in twilight they'll allow you to take the ma'asir from demai. Comes Gemara and says, V'iyamad komed rabbanan da'ay beracha. If you're telling me that all rabbinical mitzvot get a beracha, hacha kikei arum. If you're telling me over here the guy's standing without any clothes on, hechi mevarech, how can he make the beracha on taking the maaser from the demai? V'abayinan v'ayam machanecha kadosh, and the pasuk is velo yirae becha ervat davar. You're not allowed to make a beracha if the erva is revealed. V'nekan, you don't have it. You don't have the laws of the erva not here. So comes the Gemara and says, so again the Gemara is asking, how could you take demai, how could you take ma'asir from the demai without clothes on? How could you make the beracha? So the Gemara says, Amar Abaye, vaday de debrehem ba'ay beracha. Safek de debrehem lo ba'ay beracha. The Gemara gives a rule. When did we say you have to make a beracha on a rabbinical law? On a definite rabbinical law, which is Ner Hanukkah. It's a vaday de rabbanan. This over here, of demai, it's a sefik, which means could be already the Amaris gave the ma'asir. We don't know if he gave the ma'asir or not. So therefore, on a sefik of a rabbinical law, then you don't have to make a berachah. So there's a big difference. On a vaday de debrehem mevarchim, on a sefik de debrehem mevarchim. That's why he could take the ma'asir without clothes on. Because I says, wait, Yom Tov Sheni, the second day of Yom Tov. Desafek Debrehemu. The reason why we keep the second day of Yom Tov is really because of a safek. We are in doubt that maybe that's the first day, maybe it's not. It's really only a rabbinical enactment. And still we make berakot, which means we make kiddush on the second night of Yom Tov. What do you mean? We're only making it from safek. I thought you just told me on safek you don't make a berakah. So the Gemara says no. Hatam kechi delo lezilzuleba. Says you're right. Really, from what the law we just said, you shouldn't have to make a berakah on Yom Tov, on the second day of Yom Tov. But you know what? If you're not going to make berakot, the people are going to treat it lightly. People say, you don't make berakot, then they end up doing melakah. So the rabbis had to say, even though it's a safek, continue to make the berakah. Rava gives a different answer. Rava Amar, Rov Ame Ha'aretz Me'aslinin. He says the majority of Ame Ha'aretz give ma'asir, which means he's giving a totally different answer. He's saying like this: really on a vaday de debrehem, you make a berakah, like on Ner Hanukkah. On a safek de debrehem, you'd also make a berakah, which means if you had, let's say, a rabbinical mitzvah, and it's safek, you don't know if you did it or not, you don't know if you're obligated or not, you'd make a berakah. Also, then why don't you make a berakah on the demai? Demai is different. Because rov ameh ha'aretz me'aslinin. What does that mean? Here it's not even a safek, a regular safek, because the majority of ameh ha'aretz do give their ma'asir. So this is more like a chumrah midrabbanan. It's not a safek the Rabbanan. It's more like a stringency from the Rabbanan. So therefore, that's why you're not going to make a berakah in the case of the demai. Because it's really a stringency. Why is it a stringency? Because even the rabbis understand it's less than a safek. The majority of Amei Ha'aretz people do give their ma'asir. Therefore, according to Rabbah, it's a big nafka minan in the two answers. According to the first answer, you only make a berakah on a badai de debrim, but on a safek de debrim, you do not make a berakah. According to Rava, no, even on a safek de Rabbanan, you would make a berakah. However, on Demai, it's not even a safek de Debrehem. Why? Because min hastam rov did give the ma'asir. It's a very, very big nafkamina. Again, in the halakha, according to the way we learn, at least this is the way that she learns, if you make a berakah on safek de Rabbanan, comes the Gemara and says, I mean, that would mean, just incidentally, just to give you an example, if a person, let's say, is mesupak, if he shook the lulav or not. So we know, let's say, the lulav on the first day is mitzvah deoraita, let's say. But we all agree that the berachah on the lulav is drabanan, all the berachot are drabanan. So here you have a safek on a rabbinical. So according to Rava, safek to Debrahim, you'd make a berachah. Now, even though we don't hold like that in halakha, we say safek berakot lakel. But according to Rabbi, he'd say, so even though it's safek with Ibrahim, you'd make a berakah. He's giving you an example to show you how far Rabbi would go. Amar Ravuna. Ravuna says, Hatser sheyesh la bet petachim. If let's say you have a courtyard that has two doors. Now, according to the way we'll learn is according to Rashi. Rashi learned that when you have a courtyard, you have to light by the door of your house. So therefore we're talking about a chatzer, a courtyard. Guy has his house in the courtyard, but he has two doors. So it says siricha shtei nerot. Now two doors, he needs two separate menorot. One on one door and one on the other door. What's the case? So the Gemara says Amar Abba lo amaran ela mishtei ruchot. It's only talking about where the doors are on two sides of the house, which means that she gives an example. One is in the north side and one is on the east side. Aval miruah hachat, but if both doors are on the same side, lo tzarich. So now we have to analyze the case again. You have a house, it's in a courtyard. You have two doors coming from different directions. The Gemara is saying you have to place the menorah on both places. Why? Gemara says, my tama, ilima bishum hajda. If you're going to tell me, because people are going to suspect, which is, what are they going to suspect? They're not going to realize over here. They're going to say that maybe he didn't light. So comes the Gemara and says, Hajda deman. Who are you worried about? Who's going to suspect, make a suspicion over here? Gemara says, Ilema hajda de alma. If you're worried about strangers that are out-of-towners, so therefore the Gemara says, which is out-of-towners, is going to be walking by the Hasir. and he's not going to see a menorah by both doors, afidu biruach achat namelivay. Even if there are two doors on one side, they should put. Because what are the strangers going to think? They're going to think that there's two dwellings over here. Because he sees two doors. And they're going to see only one menorah. So they're going to come along and say, oh, one of these guys didn't light. So if you're worried about the hashad of strangers from a different place, even if the doors are on one side, we should be careful to light on both. Now, ihajdad ibn mata. And if you're worried about the suspicion of the people that are living in the town, which they know already he's only one dweller, then even on two sides we shouldn't need. Because bottom line, they know that he is one guy living in the house, it's not two guys, so why should we make him light for two? No, the case is we're worried about the people in the town. And you're right, the people in the town know that there's only one dweller in this house. But what's going to happen? The zimnin de mehalfe behai. They're going to pass by one door. Velo halfe behai. And they're not going to pass by the other door. Let's say they walk by the north side of the house. The amar. And they're going to see he didn't light a menorah on the north side. So what are they going to say? The amar. Ki hechi de behai petcha lo adlik. Just like he didn't light on the north side. Beach petcha named lo adlik. He didn't light also on the east side. Now again, these guys are not giving the benefit of the doubt, obviously. But the bottom line point is, they have a reason to suspect them, because the whole reason of the mitzvah is what? Pirsum HaNes. This guy, obviously, is not involving himself in Pirsum HaNes, because they walk by, they don't see menorah. They say, why? He's not involving menorah in the north? Maybe he didn't do it in the east. So the suspicion is that they're going to say he didn't light at all. They know that it's one dweller. But the issue over here is, if they're on both sides, if the doors are, let's say, in the same side, no problem. You just have to light on one of them. Why? The guy will pass by that side, and he'll come along and say, oh, yeah, okay, only has to light one menorah. Well, what about the other door? No, we're from the town. We know there's only one dweller in this house over here, so therefore, no problem. However, if it's on different sides, well, he might pass one side, not see a menorah. Right away, he's going to think the worst and say, ah, he didn't light on this side, he probably didn't light on the other side. So do you know what they say? Light on both sides in order that whoever passes on one without the other, so therefore you won't have a problem. People will not come to suspect him. Comes again and says, "Umin atimna dahashir al nahashad." Where do we learn that we have to be concerned about hashad, about these people? Which means maybe you'll say, "Let them think whatever they want to think." Well, I have to be concerned now for a guy that's going to suspect me that when he crosses by the house and he doesn't see a menorah over there, so I got to put a menorah on that side to alleviate this guy's suspicion? Where do you see you have to alleviate suspicion? So the Gemara says, "Detanya, Amar Rabbi Shimon." Rabbi Shimon said, "Bishvil arba'ad devarim amra Torah laniach pe'a besof sadeu." Torah says that one must leave pe'a. Pe'a is the corner of his field. He must leave it for the aniim. Guys, a field of wheat. So it says, "Lo techale pe'at sadecha bekutzecha." You do not finish the field. You have to leave some for the aniim. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Shimon wants to know why the Torah not demanded you to give pe'ah. We understand give pe'ah because it's an entitlement to the aniim, support the aniim. But why did they make the pe'ah? Why did the Torah say the law is at the end of the field? Why can't you just designate any area in the field for the aniim? Why did they say at the end of the field, on the corners, leave it for the aniim? Now, Rabbi Shimon is known to be Doresh Ta'ame Dekra. He would always analyze the reasons for the Torah. So therefore, Rabbi Shimon is saying, I accept the fact that you have to give pe'ah. And I accept the Torah is telling me it's got to be in the corner of the field. But he's asking, why? So he came up with four reasons. He says, Mipnei gezel aniim, for the thief, for the aniim stealing. They bitul aniim, for wasting their time. Upnei hashad, for suspicion. Umishum bal techaleh. And because the pasuk says, lo techaleh. Now the Gemara is going to explain each one. Mipnei gezel aniim, shelo yireh ba'al habayit sha'a penuya, v'yomar likrobo ani harezu pe'ah. If you allow the guy to give the pe'ah at any area in his field, what is he going to do? He's going to have a relative that's an ani. He's going to wait till the relative comes to the field, and now the relative is going to be next to him, and at that point he's going to say to any arbitrary area that he's in, Hareze pe'ah. He's going to designate a pe'ah, the ani right away is going to take it because he was there, And now already, it's going to be a trick how he can get all the pe'ah to his family members. If you tell him he has to leave it in the corner, finished. There's no, everybody knows, all the anim know, when the, where it's going to be. They know it's going to be in the, at the end of the field. If you let the guy designate it any way he wants, so no, which means he'll wait till his family comes to him. Now he says, okay, where's the pe'ah? Oh, you here? You ready? Get ready? And there's the pe'ah. Right. Bingo, he'll just designate somewhere in the field. Now the guy will take the pe'ah for himself. Okay. Now all the Hanim got cheated out of pe'ah. Once already he designated in the corner, everybody knows that. He can't just go along and make whoever he wants. That's the first reason. Second reason, the Gemara says, Mepeneh, we turn to the Amud Bet, Mepeneh bitul Hanim. What is it, bitul Hanim? Shelo yu Hanim yoshvim mishamirin. Which means the Ani now is going to have to follow the Balabait all day long because he doesn't know when he's going to make the Pe'ah. So therefore it's going to waste his time. Bitul Aniim. If they know, listen, they see the guy cutting the field, they see he's got, 2 hours till he gets to the corner of the field, they know he'll come back in 2 hours. But if the guy can designate it at any time, Bitul Aniim, you're wasting the Aniim's time. Umepne Hashad. And because of suspicion, what's the suspicion? Shelo yu ovrin veshavin. Because we don't want the passers-by, omrim, they're going to say, tavo me'era le'adam. What are they going to say? Let a curse be on this guy, shelo eniyach pe'ah besadehu. That he didn't leave pe'ah in his field. Because if you let the guy take it in the middle of the field, so it's not recognizable. And therefore, the guy's going to walk by. They're going to see nothing on the corners, nothing, no pe'ah left. What are they going to say? This man should be cursed. He doesn't leave pe'ah to the poor people. So you know what? In order that it should be clearly designated, that everybody should see where it is, leave it on the corners. So when the guy walks by, already he sees it. Because if you don't leave it on the corners, it's not recognizable where the pe'ah was. Mm. So what do you see over here? The Torah was concerned about Hashad. So you see, this issue of Hashad is a Torah concept. That's one of the reasons why you have to leave the corners of the field. So Gemara says, what's the fourth reason? Mishum bal techaleh. And because of bal techaleh, that's actually the Torah law that says, do not destroy the corners of the field. So Gemara says, wait. Atu kulehu lab mishum bal techaleh. What do you mean? That's the reason, that's the mitzvah. What do you mean? That's not a separate reason. Bal techaleh is the Isur. That's not a separate reason. All of these are because of Bal Tekale. So the Gemara says, Amarava mepene haramain. Which means that the fourth reason is different. It's because of the cheats. Who are these cheats? The cheaters? The crooks? We're talking about the owner of the field is a crook. Meaning, what is he going to do? If you don't make him put the pe'ah in a designated spot, he'll always say, oh yeah, I gave the pe'ah already. Where'd you give the pe'ah? Yeah, in the field somewhere. I gave it in before. I gave it in there. What do you mean? So he can get away with saying that he gave pe'ah without doing it. Once already, he has to leave the corner of the field. It's evident. What do you mean? Where's the corner? You didn't give it. If you're allowed to designate pe'ah anywhere in the field, he'll always say, yeah, I gave it already. So therefore, the fourth reason is because of the Ramain, the field owners that are going to cheat. Comes the Gemara and continues, Amar Rav Yitzchak Bar Radifa Amar Rav Huna. Ner sheyesh la shene piyot. Let's say you have a ner, a receptacle, that has two openings. Ole lishne bene adam. Let's get the case. You have a receptacle, and in the olden days they would have a receptacle, let's say it's a keli, and they would put, let's say, a covering on that receptacle. On the cover, you'd say you would have a hole. Okay? And you would put, let's say, a wick in the hole, and there was oil that would drip into this bottom receptacle, and that would be like the keli. Actually, if you look in your Pirush Hai, you can see a picture of this on image 239. You see a receptacle. It's got two holes, actually, on the bottom receptacle. And there's a receptacle on top that is like hollowed out where they would put oil, and it would drip through a center hole into the bottom keli. So it says, if you have two holes, which means it's a place where you could put a wick, you could weave a wick, let's say, through that one hole out into the other hole, and now you have two wicks that are standing out. So it says that can be counted for two people. So the way that she understands it is let's say you have two dwellers in a house, and they want to fulfill the mitzvah according to the Mehadrin level. So two people, what's the second level Mehadrin? So the second level is, according to the people in the house. Two, every night, two, if you're two people. So he says, this receptacle, even though it's in one base, since bottom line, you have two wicks that are coming out of different holes, so that can be counted for two people that are living in the house if they want to follow the level of Mehadrin. And don't think since it's in the same vessel, let's say it's no good. No. Again, you have a vessel, you have two holes, you weave a wick through both, also it comes out from both sides. So now technically you're lighting, you see two different flames. So even though it's one wick, but bottom line, since it's two flames, it comes out of two different holes, it can be counted for as if you lit two, meaning if you have two dwellers in the house that want to fulfill the mitzvah, according to the Mehadrin. Amar Rava. Rava said, Mila ke'ara shemen. Let's say you filled a bowl of oil. Ve'kifa pitilot. And then you filled up the bowl with wicks. You want to see that? That would be 240. Actually, it would be 240, 241. It depends, the Gemara says. Kafar alei keli, if after you put the wicks in, you covered the bowl with a covering, ole lekama bene adam, it can count for many people. Why? Because when you cover it, so each wick becomes distinct. It's separate. If you don't cover it, as you see in picture 241, all the wicks float to each other, and it ends up becoming like a bonfire. So it says, lo kafa alei keli. If you didn't put a keli over it, what's going to happen? Asa'a kemin midora. So then you made the wicks like a bonfire. Then even for one person it will not be ole. So basically the point of this Gemara is that the wicks that are in one vessel have to be distinct. They have to be separate. So again, let's review the pictures quickly. In 240, it's kasher. Why? Because kafa alei keli. By putting a keli over it, it causes the wicks to become separate. So therefore it can count for, let's say you have four nerot in there, you got four people. So you have four people in the house, you got four people. 241 shows us the wicks that do not have a cover over them, so they're just floating in an opened vessel. What's going to end up happening? They float next to each other, and they're all going to have a medorah. If you look at 242, he shows you the shitav the Ran. The Ran says that even without a cover, if you somehow separated the wicks, that they won't come next to each other, so long as they're in etzba, which is a small measurement between each one, even without a covering on it, it is kasher. So according to the Ran, when did we say without a covering is a problem? When they were next to each other together, because then it's a midorah. Then it would be like a bonfire. Amar Rava. Rava taught. Peshita li. It's clear to me. It's obvious. Ner beto v'ner Hanukkah. Now we're talking about a poor person. He has enough money only to light the Friday night candles. That's called ner beto. But he does not have, he has enough for, let's say, one candle. Either he can light the Friday night candles, or he could light Nerot Hanukkah. What goes first? So the Gemara says, Ner Beto V'Ner Hanukkah, Ner Beto Adif. Use that candle for your Friday night candles. Why? Mishum Shalom Beto. Shalom Bayit, the reason why you light the Friday night candles, so you can see. People in the dark, they fight. When there's light, there's peace. So therefore, they say, if you have an option, which one to use it for your Nerot Shabbat. Okay, good. Ner Beto V'Kiddush Hayom. Now let's say another case. You have a limited amount of money. You can only afford either Friday night candles, or you can buy wine for the Kiddush. What should you do? Ner beto adif. Again, use the money to buy candles for Friday night. Mishum shalom beto. And make Kiddush on bread. And use the money for the candles. Now the question is, Ba'ir Ava, Ner Hanukkah v'Kiddush Hayom, Mau. Now let's say you have only enough money. You can either buy Nerot for Hanukkah, or for Kiddush on Friday night. Then what do you do? So the Gemara says, Kiddush Hayom Adif to Tadir. Do you say no? Kiddush is more prevalent since you do Kiddush every week, and the law is Tadir Vishino Tadir, Tadir Kodem. Then since you do Kiddush more often, maybe you should opt to spend that limited money for the wine. Or Dilma Ner Hanukkah Adif Mishu Pesum Enisa. Or maybe you'll say no, Ner Hanukkah is more important. Why? Because of the law of Pesum Enis, to publicize the miracle. After he asked the question, he solved it. And he said, Ner Hanukkah Adif that the Ner Hanukkah is adif even over the kiddush with wine. Mishum persumenisa amar Rav Huna tot haragil baner. A person that is accustomed and is careful every week lighting the nerot, he's ragil. Like I said, he's accustomed. So the Gemara says havyan le banim talmidei hakamim. So he's careful. Now let's say Nerot Shabbat, Nerot Hanukkah. So what's going to happen? As a reward, he's going to have children that are going to be Talmidei Chachamim. Because it says, Ki Ner Mitzvah V'Torah Or. The Ner represents wisdom. And if, since you're careful with the Ner, God is going to bless that person with children of Talmidei Chachamim. Hazahid B'Mizuzah. If a person is careful, he's meticulous when it comes to the Mitzvah Mizuzah, Zocheh L'Didana'ah. He will have a nice dwelling. Hazair b'sisit, a person's careful in the mitzvah b'sisit, zocheh l'talitna, he will have a nice garment. Hazair b'kiddush, a person's careful to make kiddush with wine. Hayom, in the day, kiddush hayom, which means kiddush in the day, he's careful. Zocheh u'mimadeh garbe yayin, he will be zocheh that his barrels will be filled with wine, which means he'll have a beracha. Lavuna hava ragil. Lavuna was accustomed. Hava chalif etaneh. He would pass by over and over. Afitcha de Rabbi Abin Nagra. He would pass by the house of Rabbi Abin Nagra, the carpenter. Hazad hava ragil b'shargei tuvah. He saw that they were very careful in lighting the candles on Friday night. Tosfot actually has a text over here. Hava ragileh. He saw that not only was the rabbi, not only was the rabbi's wife careful, but the rabbi himself was careful, which both the husband and the wife, in the Gilead's plural language, they were both careful in lighting the Nerot Shabbat. Amar, when he saw the lights and he saw both of their involvement in lighting it, he said, Tre gabre rabrebe nafke me'acha. Two great rabbis are going to come from this house. Nafke minayu, Ravidi Barabin, Veravchaya Barabin. So you see, the two rabbis came out, Ravidi Barabin, Veravchaya Barabin. So what do you see from here? And what we just said, a person is careful in the light of the Shabbat candles, what's going to happen? And since Tosfot says both the husband and the wife were involved in this mitzvah, so they ended up with two children. Comes again and says, Ravchizda. Haba ragil, haba chalif etaneh. He used to pass by Afitcha de Ben Asha de Rav Shizbi. He passed by the Ben Asha of Rav Shizbi. What is Ben Asha? That she says either it was the father's house of Rav Shizbi or the father-in-law's house of Rav Shizbi. It's not looking. Is Ben Asha mean the father's house or the father-in-law's house? Hazad haba ragil b'shargei tuvah. Again, he saw that they were careful to light a lot of Nerot on Friday night. Amari said, Gabra Rabba Nafak Me'acha. He says, a great man is going to come out of this house. Nafak Minayu Rav Shizbe. Who came out? Rav Shizbe. So from this Gemara, either you learn, according to Tosafot, since in this case, only one, either the husband or the wife, was careful in the lighting, so therefore only one rabbi came out. But according to the opinion that says, he passed by his father-in-law's house, so the Hadush is, if a person is careful in lighting the Nerot on Friday night, he'll have sons-in-law that will be Talmidei Chachamim. Because Rav Shizbi became the reward for the father-in-law's lighting. That means he was zochet to have a son-in-law that was a Talmid Chacham. Comes again and says, Debitu de Rav Yosef, the wife of Rav Yosef, Havat me'achara umadleket la. She would light the Nerot Shabbat very late. Chas v'shalom, she was not lighting on Shabbat itself, but she would wait to the last minute to light the Nerot Shabbat. Amala Rabbi Yosef. So Rabbi Yosef wanted to rebuke her, to tell her she shouldn't wait to the last minute. He was trying to tell her that she should light earlier. So what did he say? Tanya, he says, it says, Lo yamish amud ha'anan yomam ve'amud ha'esh laila. The Pasuk says, when the Jewish people were in the Midbar, at night they traveled by the cloud of fire, pillar of fire, and in the day they traveled by a cloud. And the Pasuk says, Lo yamish amud ha'anan yomam, the cloud of the day did not leave them, and the cloud of the night of fire did not leave them. What do you mean did not leave them? So the Gemara says, Melamed, Sha'amud anan mashlim na'amud ha'esh, ve'amud ha'esh mashlim na'amud ha'anan. Which means both clouds at a point in the day work simultaneously. Meaning, at night when the cloud of, at night let's say, you had the cloud of fire. It lasted the whole night. early in the morning, but the regular cloud that traveled by day came to greet them, and then the cloud of fire left. So early in the morning you had two clouds, and the same thing during the day. During the day you had the regular cloud. When it got close to sunset, the cloud of fire already appeared. So now you had two clouds for a moment, and then the cloud, the regular cloud dissipated, and you had the cloud of fire. So what did he learn from over here? You see that what? It's the way of the fire and the light to come early, which means the fire cloud did not show up when it got dark. It already came when the regular cloud was still around. So what was he telling his wife? So you see, it's the custom not to light right before it gets dark. Yeah, bring the light a little earlier. You see, over here, Rabbi Yosef was soft in rebuking his wife. Instead of telling her, you're making an avon, he found a midrash. He found a nice pasuk, lo yamish. He said, we see in the Torah, it's nice to light it. Really, he was trying to tell her, you're not following the halakha, you're not supposed to light it so late. Because the law is, you're supposed to mosif mechon ala kodesh. You're supposed to accept Shabbat early. She held that when you have to accept Shabbat early, when it comes to other melachot. But Nerot Shabbat is a mitzvah of Shabbat itself. She said, maybe there's no mitzvah of Mosif Olal HaKodesh when it comes to the mitzvah of Nerot, which is for Shabbat itself. Rabbi Yosef was really holding, no. The mitzvah of adding to the Shabbat applies even to the Nerot Shabbat. But instead of telling her to that with a rebuke, he told us, we see in the Torah that it's an inyan to light, that the fire comes early. So what happened? Gemara says, Savra le'akduma. So what happened? She wanted to light it very early. So the Gemara says, Amalahu sabah. So the old rabbi said to her, Tanina, we learned, Ubilbad shelo yakdim v'shelo yacher. Which means, lighting too early is also not good, because it's not recognizable that you're lighting it for Shabbat. So therefore, he said, lo yakdim v'lo yacher. So therefore, at the end, she lighted it at the right time. But really, if a person wants to light the Nerot Shabbat, technically they can light it from the time of Plag Mincha. But the halakha says, if you're lighting at Plag Mincha, or let's say like an hour and a quarter before sunset, so then already one has to be careful to accept Shabbat at that time. Because if you're not an accept Shabbat at that time, it's not recognizable that you lit it for Shabbat. It looks like you're doing it for, it's too far away from the Shabbat. But by lighting and then accepting Shabbat, so it's clear that those Nerot were for Shabbat. So she wanted to do it much earlier. So he says, no, but that, you know, also you have to do it in the proper time. Baruch Adonai L'Olam. Amen.